Hi, you're listening to Scream of the Crime.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Maggie, and this is a podcast where we talk about true crime.
And what would happen if your favorite TV and movie characters committed those crimes. Hello.
We are back.
Yeah, this time has actually been so long.
Yeah, it's been like a month.
Yeah, probably just about.
Yeah.
Well.
It's Tuesday. I want to preface that it's Tuesday, and it just feels like the week has been so long.
Yeah.
And maybe, I feel like it was just today, because yesterday was fine. But just, I'm exhausted, you know?
Yeah.
And it's only the second day of school.
Mm-hmm.
So, happy spring semester.
I was putting stuff in my Google Calendar today, and I was, like, you know, for classes, like, when they stop, I was putting, like, an end date, and I was, like, in May. I'm, like, May? That's so far away. Spring semester seems so much longer than fall does for some reason.
Really? Because I feel like it feels shorter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know, but just so we know, when school ends, that means I get to turn 21.
That's true.
So we have things to look forward to. Or at least I do.
Yeah. I would say now every birthday I have it just like, now you're getting older. You're old.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You're old.
Yeah.
22. And elderly.
I know. No, yeah. I don't know. How was your break? What'd you do?
I hung out with some of my friends. They were gone for a majority of the break, so I saw them at the beginning, and then they had to leave for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally came back, and we hung out. But, like, my friends start classes a week before I do. So they all left early, because Florida. And then my other friend, is doing a study abroad in Italy, which is fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but I went to the drive-in. We saw Jumanji Next Level at the drive-in. They let us in for free because my mother said that it's because I have hot friends, and it's kind of just a little rude. She's like, oh, it's your friends, and I was like, thanks that that it's not me. I mean, I was hiding in the back seat, but she didn't know that. So, like...
Yeah.
Still, she's like, oh, the twins, they're hot. And I was like, thanks.
Yeah.
I know I'm ugly, Joy, you know? Oh, no, I said my mom's name. But, so we saw the drive-in, and then we saw Midsommar in my house. I have opinions on that. Would you like me to go into them?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not gonna. I don't want to spoil anything because I think everyone should see Midsommar because Tess hasn't seen it, and right?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil anything because I think, you know. But the thing is, there's nothing to spoil because there's no goddamn plot, and I was told that this would be a horror movie. I was informed by my friend that it was gross, that there was disgusting things that I would be disturbed. And yeah, I'm not a pussy, but I was not disturbed. I was not scared. Nothing scary happens till maybe the very end of the movie, and which, by the way, it's a 3-hour long movie. And here's the thing, I think it's a lot like, not at all plot wise or cinema wise, but it's a lot like Velvet Buzzsaw, which we saw together, in which the concept could have been cool. Like, with Velvet Buzzsaw, I'm all for a horror piece within, like, the elite art world. And this would have been a horror piece, but it's Midsommar, so the sun goes down for, like, an hour a day, you know? So it's all light all the time.
Yeah.
But it's a horror movie, and normally horror movies are dark. You with me? That could have been cool. But I was sitting there on, like... Sorry, my roommates are talking very loud outside, and if you can hear them, I would like to apologize on behalf of them, because it's fine. And,
okay.
I would just like to say that about an hour and a half into the film, when nothing has happened, I thought to myself, the horror better not be that this cult is creepy. That they're just weird cultists.
Was that what it was?
That's what the fucking horror... Yeah, they were wacky. And, like, yeah, okay, there's, like, stuff happens at the end. But, like, nothing happens. Nothing scary happens. And everyone's like, oh, it's a breakup piece. And it's a shitty breakup piece if it is a breakup piece. Also, I thought the director was a female because I'm dumb and thought the name Ari was a female's name. I know it's the guy who directed Hereditary. I knew that was a man. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't put those pieces together. But I respect him. Hereditary was scary.
Yeah, Hereditary was really scary.
Yeah, like with the fucking, the people, it's not important. But this was not scary, and it was should have been a drama. It should have been a drama. Mm. And I wouldn't have watched it because I hate dramas, you know? Mm-hmm. But there was no plot, and I think other people agree with me. And there's a 2-hour-long Dead Meat podcast you can listen to in which they like it. Don't get me wrong, the cinematography's great and everything's fun, the acting's fine. And there's drugs, you know, it's the realest drug trip you'll ever be on, and it's stupid, and it really makes me never want to do drugs because they look boring. Not even, like, scary. No one's, like, sees visions of, like, I'm on acid. It just looks boring as fuck. I can't do that. I can't be there for that. There is nudity, though, if you're far away from nudity. And there's a sex scene. One whole sex scene. The beginning was really promising, though. So if you watch the beginning and you're like, Maggie's a dumbass, this is an interesting movie, just wait. Because it's not.
I'll have to watch it now.
But the main female actress is a very nice lady. She's dating a man who is from Scrubs. She is like 22 or 3 years old, and he is 46 or something.
I saw a tweet about that.
I know who, Florence.
Yeah, I know who the actress you're talking about, but I saw someone tweet, like, this is happening.
Yeah, so.
They're upset.
Overall, I think, like, it was made well, it was good. I didn't enjoy the plot, and it wasn't scary. And it wasn't, it's too long. But I think everyone should watch it if you're, because I went in with 0 spoilers, which is not normal for me, and didn't end well, you know? And that's that on that.
Okay.
You want to say anything? Anything? No?
No.
All right, I made Tess watch the whole entire High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
No,
I enjoyed it. It kind of reminded me of, like, Glee almost, yeah. But, like, not the same. But I liked it. I had a good time.
I think the music was pretty good, and it's well made. It's not like a normal Disney Channel show.
Yeah, it's not like Wizards of Waverly Place and stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they have, like. I mean, they shoot it in the school, so clearly they have a whole school to shoot in.
Yeah.
And I like the director, or the creator. He's a nice man. And the cast seems very, very sweet. And I was at work today. And Grayson comes in, and he's like, so Maggie. Because I was singing We're All In This Together nonstop at work today. Mm-hmm. Not for the show. I think it's just stuck in my head in general. And he comes in and he's like, I heard you watch the whole series.
I was telling
him. Told me at work.
Yeah.
Like at closing. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, don't worry. I watched it all too. And I was like, yes.
No, he was really into it.
Yeah.
He loved it.
So there was that. I also had my first shift with Tess's roommate today.
How'd that go?
Fine.
Okay.
That's really it. I should get into this because I have a lot of notes, actually. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I would like to, first and foremost, apologize because I'm not going to be able to pronounce any of the words in this. And you're going to have to take my word for that. And also, I worked a lot today. So I'm really tired and my feet hurt. Not that that means anything, but my feet do hurt.
Can you hand me that?
No. My roommate's mother bought us all these. Stop.
Why am
these
I
giant
to touch
pillow
it?
Animal things. They're like shaped like eggs. And mine's a pink flamingo, and it's the softest thing I've ever touched. Here, you can have it.
Whoa.
I know.
That's not the texture I was expecting.
She's so good, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now Tess gets to hug it. I get no comfort in this world. I'm kidding.
You live with a cat. You at least have that.
So, all my notes are from the article The Mysterious Unsolved Murder of the Hinterkaifeck Farm by Brent Swanser. Thank you. We're moving to the majestic alpine forest of the German state of Bavaria. The idyllic mountain scenery and pristine nature here seems to be an unusual location for the violent murder. For violent murder, yet in 1922, one quiet... Oh, it's the 20s again. One... Happy New Year!
I was saying, I feel like I was like, what'd you do during break? And I was like, you didn't mention that, like, there were like five holidays.
Well, okay, so, I mentioned on the podcast, the episode that came out on New Year's, that I'm a dumbass and I said Merry Christmas that episode.
Yeah.
And I said, I had a little memo beforehand that said Happy New Year, but just Happy New Year, everyone. Sorry. One quiet farmstead by the name of the Hinterkaifeck was the setting for one of the most brutal, mysterious, and perplexing murders in German history. Hinterkaifeck was a farm located within the woods outside Grobern, between the Bavarian towns of Ingolstadt and Schrobenhausen, and an hour drive from Munich. We're doing great with these words. The farm was occupied by a family called the Grubers, which consisted of the husband, Andreas, his wife, Casilia, their middle-aged widowed daughter, Victoria, with a K, and their two grandchildren, Casilia again, but this time the A's got two dots over that, and I don't know how to pronounce it, and Joseph, with an F. Casilia, the child, was 7, and Joseph was 2. They lived in relative isolation, their farm being nestled away in a forest 1 kilometer from the main town of Kaifeck. Despite the remoteness of their farm, and the well-off family was well known in the area, although not for the best of reasons. Andreas Gruber was known as an unfriendly loner who beat his wife on a regular basis and was not well liked by the town folk. You know. It was also rumored that the youngest grandchild, little 2-year-old Joseph, with an F, was a result of an incestuous relationship between Andreas and his daughter, Victoria.
Ew.
Yeah. I'm pronouncing it. Okay. Sometimes it has an N and sometimes it doesn't. Whatever, it's not important. I misspell things. Andreas was reportedly so obsessed and infatuated with Victoria that he had actively forbidden her to marry again and kept her under his strict control. In addition to mistreating his wife, Andreas was also known to be severely abusive with his own children, of which Victoria was the only survivor. In general, the family was sullen, reclusive, and mostly kept to themselves. The only one that had relatively good reputation in the town was Victoria, who had a remarkably beautiful voice and sang in the church choir. Just like Gabriella. Okay. The farm's... descent into true strangeness started when the maid suddenly quit her job and wished to leave immediately. When asked why she had a sudden decision to abruptly leave, Maria explained that she had been hearing strange voices and other noises in and around the house, as well as the sound of disembodied footsteps emanating from the attic. The terror-stricken maid had become convinced that the house was haunted and wished to stay there not a moment longer. She was reportedly white-faced and emaciated when she said her final goodbyes. After her departure, the Grubers chalked it up to a poor woman being simply mentally disturbed. 6 months later, things got more bizarre. When in the middle of March 1922, Andreas was surveying his property after a snowstorm, still snowing in March, and discovered odd footprints in the snow that originated in the thick surrounding forest and led right up to the house. Eerily, there were no footprints to be found that actually led back into the woods. So there's one leading in.
Okay.
It's like that riddle when it's like, a man is found hanging in a house. There are footsteps leading in, none leading out, and there's a puddle of water on the floor. How did he die? Have you never heard that?
Am I supposed to answer that?
Well, it's a riddle, yeah.
What do you mean? So he's hanging.
He's hanging. Yeah, well, like, how did... He couldn't have just... You can't... He's, like, in the middle of the house. Like, he never jumped off of anything. He's, like,
hanging,
you know? Like, dangling from the house. I'm not gonna let this go on too long. He stood on a block of ice and it melted and hung him.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Well, okay. Whatever.
No, I know. It's one of those rules. Okay. I'm gonna cough. Give me a second. So... Andrea searched all around the property looking for any further sign of the mysterious tracks, but there were none. Alarmed with a potentially dangerous intruder could be hiding in the house, Andreas conducted a thorough search of the house and even the barn and tool shed, but found no further footprints and no sign of an intruder. The same night, Andreas was awoken by strange, inexplicable noises coming from the attic. Most likely an intruder.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering what the maid had said about ghosts and the noises from the attic, he checked there too, but found nobody hiding there. With apparently nobody hiding on the property and no footsteps, leaning back into the woods, it seemed to be the trespasser had simply vanished. Satisfied that no one was there, yet still a bit unsettled, I guess he vanished. Andreas went to bed, only to wake up the next morning to find a strange newspaper on his porch that no one in the family recognized. Not long after that, on March 30th, 1922, a set of keys to the house mysteriously disappeared and could not be found anywhere. In his search for the keys, Andreas came upon the disturbing discovery of scratches on the lock to the tool shed, as if someone had tried to pick it. On May 31st, 1922... amid all of this high strangeness, and a day after the discovery of the lock scratches and the disappearance of the keys, a new maid by the name of Maria Baumgartner came to the house to replace the one that had fled in panic 6 months earlier. Maria's first day on the job would prove to be her last, and this would also be the last day anyone would see the Grubers alive. On April 4th, 1922, people in town became concerned about the Grubers. No one had seen any of the family in days, and the older grandchildren, Godzilla, had not been showing up for school. In addition, none of them had been to church, and the Grubers' unclaimed mail had been piling at the post office. Victoria, in particular, was never known to miss church due to her high standing as a member of the choir, and a few of the townspeople decided to head out to their property and check up on them to see what was going on. Upon arriving at the farm, the search party's calls went unanswered. A preliminary check of the outside of the farm turned up no sign of the family, and the whole place had an eerily quiet atmosphere. They decided to inspect inside the barn. And upon opening the door, we're met with a gruesome sight. There, lying in a pool of blood, were the bodies of Andreas, his wife, his daughter Victoria, and the elder granddaughter, Kazia. Oddly, their bodies had been carefully stacked on top of each other and covered with hay. The horrified search party proceeded to frantically look for the other members of the family and found them in the farmhouse. The youngest grandchild, Joseph, was found dead in his cot in his mother's bedroom, and the maid Maria was also found killed in her own bedchambers. Both had also bled profusely and were found lying in pools of coagulated blood. In total, 6 people, all 5 Grubers, family members, plus 1 maid, had been brutally killed in cold blood. The townspeople immediately called the police, and within hours, investigators from the Munich Police Department had arrived at the scene. Preliminary autopsies done on the bodies showed that all the victims had been killed with blows to the head inflicted by a pickaxe. Victoria's body also showed signs of strangulation as well, but it was not thought to be the cause of death. The perpetrator was guessed to be very familiar with the use of a pickaxe, since all the wounds have been precise and confidently delivered, with only one single decisive blow in the head evident on each corpse and no such wounds to the body. All victims except one were believed to have died instantly, all except Kazilia, who showed evidence of having survived several hours after being grievously wounded and tufts of hair had been torn from her head for unknown reasons. Most of the victims were dressed in bed clothes except Victoria and Kazelia, who were dressed in regular clothes. This plus the fact that Maria and Joseph had been killed in bed, suggesting that the murders had happened in the evening, night around bedtime. Mm-hmm. An investigation of the crime scene led police to conclude that someone had lured Andreas Gruber, his wife, and his daughter Victoria into the barn one by one to dispatch them with the pickaxe, after which the murderer had entered the farmhouse to finish off little Joseph and the maid as they lay in their beds. It was believed that Victoria and Kazila had likely been the first to arrive and been attacked, since they had not been dressed for bed when they had gone out to investigate whatever had drawn them out to the barn. One detail that police noticed was that all the corpses had been covered somehow, and the stacked bodies in the barn had been covered with hay, the maid's body had been covered with a bedsheet, and Joseph's body had been covered with one of his mother's skirts. Mm-hmm. So far, so scary, but further analysis of the bodies turned up some very unusual findings. The date of death was determined to be Friday, March 31st, 1922, but after questioning the neighbors of the farm, this proved to be rather bizarre. It was found that witnesses near the farmhouse had seen smoke coming from the chimney over the entire weekend, suggesting someone had been home. Hmm. The house also had evidence that someone had only recently eaten meals there, and one of the beds appeared to have been slept in not long before the bodies had been discovered. In addition, it was found that all the cattle and livestock were well fed and had recently eaten, which was an odd finding, seeing as everyone who typically cared for them had been dead for nearly a week. In fact, none of the animals on the farm had been harmed in any way. The dog, which was found barking in the barn, had been patiently tied up by whoever had killed the family and was shaken, but otherwise healthy. This information left investigators rather puzzled, as it implies that whoever had killed the family had done their dark deed and then stayed around for several days, feeding the cattle and making themselves at home before fleeing the scene. Why would anyone do that? Nobody knew. The baffled police went about struggling to find a motive, but came up with more mysteries. At first, it was presumed that the motive must have been pure and simple robbery.
Yeah.
After all, the Grubers were a very wealthy family, and it was not uncommon to find vagrants and thieves in the general area. However, although some paper money had been taken off the corpses, a significant amount of gold coins and valuable jewelry had been untouched. Surely, someone with robbery in mind who had stuck around the farm for days after the murders would have uncovered these valuables. Curiously, it was found that Victoria had emptied her bank account a few days previously and left a 700 gold mark donation to her church for what she'd called missionary work. But the rest of her money was unaccounted for. It was not known if this had any connection to the murders, so it remained merely an odd detail. Police then started to suspect that the murders had been a crime of passion. Suspicion fell on a man by the name of Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Oh, the German.
Who had been a suitor of Victoria's. Victoria had always claimed to the end that Joseph had been Schlittenbauer's father, but since everyone in the village thought that Joseph had been the result of an incestuous affair between Andreas Gruber and Victoria, it was believed that Schlittenbauer could have lashed out. I'm going to say it more German every time. Could have lashed out in a jealous fit of rage. Dear God, I can't read. It could have also been to escape alimony payments, because it later came to light that Victoria had been on the verge of suing Schlittenbauer for this right before the murders. Since he had been remarried with another child at this point, who had sadly died at a young age, having to pay for alimony payments for a child he couldn't even be certain was really his when his own had died, may have been a trigger for the violence. Other weird little details also seem to point to Schlittenbauer's involvement. First off, it just so happened to be one of the members of the original search party who had gone to the farm to look for the Grubers after they had gone missing. While he had been there, it was reported that the dog tied up in the barn had taken a particular dislike to Schlittenbauer and had barked profusely at him the whole time he had been there. In addition, one witness said later that Schlittenbauer, dear God, had seemed to be remarkably unperturbed by the sight of the bloodied bodies. And had been able to unstack the bodies in the barn without showing any sign of disgust. When he had been asked why he was disturbing the corpses before police arrived, he was reported to have said that he needed to find his boy. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's his son. Beyond such an amazing calmness in his face of such death and violence, Schlittenbauer also demonstrated a beyond normal familiarity with the farm and was able to navigate his way around the property effortlessly, as if he had spent a lot of time there. All this certainly raised eyebrows, and Schlittenbauer was questioned extensively by police, but in the end, they simply did not have enough concrete evidence to link him to the crimes, and he was never arrested for it.
Okay.
I lost my place. Oh. In fact, to this day, no one has ever been arrested for it.
Hmm.
Regardless of who actually committed the murders, there are many other unexplained features of the case. Why did the perpetrator hide out of the farm for so long before making their move? Surely the footprints and noises in the attic must have been those of the murderer. But these events were happening long before the murders took place.
Hmm.
If the original maid who had quit on the grounds of a haunting had in fact been hearing the murderer, then that would mean the culprit would have been hiding out undiscovered on the property for a full 6 months.
Damn.
In addition, yeah, this reminds me of the Spider-Man or whatever. The guy that was hiding in the attic.
Oh, like, when someone
That was his, like, code name. It was, like, the spider.
Yeah. Oh. I know there's, like, that one thing where it's, like, someone was living in this girl's apartment for, like, in, like, the walls or whatever.
It was a case I did earlier.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different thing, but it's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. That happens quite often. Not, like, quite often, but, like, it happens often enough that it's kind of creepy.
It's happened more than once, and that's enough.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes you really think, huh? Is there someone in here? Someone in my closet? What if there's someone just living under my bed? I wouldn't know. I don't look down there, you know? Got enough shit down there.
That'd be fun.
You can come out.
You'd have a friend.
Guest star on our podcast. Okay. In addition, why would the murderer stay nearly a week after the killings, have meals, and even feed the cattle? What purpose could that possibly fulfill? Nobody knows. The bodies of the six victims were eventually buried in a graveyard in Wadenhofen. Nah, I didn't pronounce it. Wadenhofen, without their heads, since those have been sent to Munich for analysis and had never been returned. The skulls are thought to have been lost sometime during the chaos of World War II, and no one is really sure what happened to them, which is a mystery in of itself. And six headless bodies were buried alongside a memorial. No. The investigation of the Hinterkaifeck murders would ultimately go on for years, with over 100 suspects questioned. Without getting police any closer to solving the mystery, and the case has become one of Germany's most enduring unsolved mysteries. To this day, not a single suspect has ever been apprehended for the crimes. Police got so desperate that at one point, they even hired a clairvoyant to handle the skulls of the murder victims to no effect.
That sucks.
Over the years,
that'd be cool if it worked, though.
Yeah, right? Over the years, the mysterious murders have become fertile. I'm so sorry. I'm drinking vitamin water, and it's, like, really getting in my throat.
Weird. How can vitamin water have that much power?
It's the lemonade.
Okay.
It's building up. Got a little mucus. I think I'm getting ill.
Oh, great.
Over the years, the mysterious murders have become fertile grounds for amateur sleuths like me, to debate and pick apart the case in their search for answers, much like Jack the Ripper's case had stimulated similar ongoing analysis. Many theories from the rational to the fringe have been put forward to try and get a grip on the mystery. One idea was that Victoria's ex-husband, Carl Gabriel, carried out the murders, although Gabriel had supposedly been killed in the trenches of World War I.
Oh, well, there you go.
But his body had never actually been found and never received a proper burial, so it's speculated that he may have come back. I think he probably died, though. Yeah. Upon hearing of Victoria's incestuous relationship with her father and her involvement with Schlittenbauer, he could have snapped and murdered them all in a crime of passion. This theory was fueled by the reports of two people who came forward claiming to have met Russian soldier. Oh my god. A Russian soldier after World War II who had claimed to be the Hinterkopf killer.
Okay.
It has been speculated that he originally faked his death to be free of his wife, but had changed his mind and come back only to be less than pleased with what awaited him at home. Others have pointed to the seemingly paranormal element as the strange of the case, such as the ghost reported by the original maid on the farm, as well as the strange noises heard by Gruber himself, the mysterious newspaper, and the unexplainable footprints in the snow. In light of all these details, there's those who think the culprit was no man at all, but rather some kind of vengeful, supernatural force that had set its sights on the family.
I like that option.
Yeah, of course, yeah. The puzzling case poses so many questions and unexplained mysteries, and to this day, it is no closer to being solved than it was back in 1922. For its part, the Munich Police Department has, on occasion, reopened the case. It did so in both 1996 and again in 2007, but on both occasions ran into nothing but dead ends. The police have said that it's likely that the case will never be solved since so many years have passed. The evidence is scarce or has been lost over the years. Witnesses and suspects have died, and because the investigative techniques of those in those days were fairly primitive, resulting in incomplete records and evidence. That doesn't stop amateurs from trying, and the debate and discussion on the murders is likely to continue for many years to come. In Germany, the case of the Hinterkopf murders has become legendary and is subject of several books and movies. The farm itself is long gone, having been demolished in 1923 by villagers unhappy with having such a monument of death and horror still standing in the vicinity. All that stands there now is a monument and the memories and the ghosts of those events pervading the quiet trees among which a truly terrible crime unfolded all those years ago. It seems that it's a very real possibility that those trees will remain the only ones to know what really transpired there.
Wow.
That's a good ending. I like that guy.
That was quite the situation.
Yes. Oh my god.
All right. Okay. So, well, I am going to pick a movie that the setting of this, it doesn't match, but first, this whole, like, you reading this whole thing made me feel like watching this movie, almost, because they're both kind of, like, a whole, like, very unsolved, like, mystery type thing, and I remember... I forgot what episode, but I was like, I want to talk about this movie, and I don't care what, like, the case is, I'm going to talk about this movie.
Okay.
Wait. Not to sound dumb, I'm going to make sure I haven't done this yet, but if I did, then I totally blacked out, but I don't think I did. Let me check her Instagram. Drake and Josh, that was not it.
What movie?
What's your number? And then, okay, no, I haven't done it. We're all good. So, Knives Out.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I just remember one time being very adamant about talking about this, but it's been long enough that anyone who's going to see it and, like, cared about spoilers has seen it. So we're in the clear. But, Knives Out recently came out last fall.
Yeah.
And it is a murder mystery movie that has a very good, like, plot twist and, like, everything. I thought we were never going to find out what happened. Like, I thought it was just going to be an unsolved case. But you find out what happens in Knives Out.
Yes.
So,
You find out early what happens in Knives Out.
Kind of.
Like, you find out...
It's like,
so
it's like we are spoiling it. It's like,
let's say that we are going to spoil it.
Well, here, I'll cover the whole movie first. So, Knives Out, it opens, there's this family, like this rich family, which is also what I was thinking, like, makes sense with this. So, it's like you have a rich family who has this, like, dad who had, like, a publishing company and made all this money. He was an author.
Yes.
And... he has all these kids who, like, have their own families. And so, like, each kid has their own, like, issues with the father or whatever. And the dad dies. And yes. It looks like he killed himself. And they were to, like, shut the case there. But then someone ordered a private investigator.
James Bond.
Yeah.
What's that actor name?
What's that? Oh, gosh. I had it pulled up so I could have the names because there's a lot of people. Daniel Craig.
I really thought he was going to have a British accent in this film, and he doesn't. He has like a hardcore thick, Southern accent.
Yeah, Southern accent. So, Daniel Craig's the private investigator, and he is interviewing the family. And the father, Christopher Plummer, that's the actor who plays him.
What's his name in the...
Harland. Oh, yes. Harland Tromboy. So, his kids... is Joni, Linda, and then Walt. Sorry, I'm like reading the cast list. I only know the actors' names, but not the children's, like their actual names.
Joni's not his child. Joni is the wife of his dead son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I think she's still, I'm counting her in the children thing just because she like
yeah, she's one
falls
of-
into like that level of, like, relationship with
and
the father.
Wait. No. No, you're right. I'm sorry, yeah. I'm being dumb.
He has two alive children and then one.
His children are Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Michael Shannon.
And then Toni Collette.
And then Toni Collette's the
who was the mom in Hereditary. She's great.
Yes. We love a Toni Collette. She was in... Yeah. Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah, so Walt, who is the son, he, like, kind of runs the publishing company, and then you see, like, his perspective, like, why he'd want to kill the father, and it's, like, because the father fired him from his publishing company.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis, Linda, she, why did she want to kill
the
father?
She has a child.
Uh-huh.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Named Ransom. And then, I don't think she wanted to kill.
No,
she didn't really have any reason to kill him.
Yeah,
but her son did.
Yep. Yeah. And then Toni or Joni.
Joni.
That's
Toni Collette.
Yeah. She wanted to kill him because he was paying for her daughter's tuition.
And her daughter is the chick from 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah. Hannah Baker.
God, she's. I liked her character. I took that, like, which Knives Out character are you, and I got her, which made me kind of sad. But mm-hmm. She was, like, such a rich, like, she's, like, one of those kids that, like, go to Brown, and they're, like, she's, like, you can't say that, that's, like, rude, and it's all about mindful thinking and everything, but she's clearly a rich chick, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it pissed me off.
Yeah.
Sorry, just a side note. But, no, sorry, can you continue?
Yeah, so the mom was kind of, like, double-dipping and, like, in the tuition payments, so she was, like, kind of stealing money from him, and then he found out. So that's, like, kind of her reason for a setup. And then Ransom, who's Chris Evans, he, like, you know that him and the his grandfather had, like, this fight, but you don't know what it was about.
Yeah.
And then he, like, stormed out the night of the party, which is when he dies. But then, So
it's his birthday party. He dies the night of his birthday party.
Yeah. So then you also meet his, like, nurse.
Yeah.
Marta, who's, like, she is, like, kind of the outsider, but everyone kind of is, like, oh, like, treats her like family, kind of, and, like, she's at the, like, birthday party. And the thing with Marta is, like, she can't lie.
She throws up.
Like, she throws up if she lies. And then the detective figures this out, so he's like, oh, I want you to be my, like, kind of Watson and, like, help me figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, you know, knows all the like tea on everyone because the father talks to her, and she's kind of like his closest friend in the end.
Yeah, they play. What is that game? Backgammon.
I don't know what it's. I don't know. It looked like checkers, but I'm not sure what it was.
It was a form of checkers, but I think it was. It's the one with the white and black tiles, but you like flip them.
Yeah. Some game, but. So the twists and turns of this whole movie. Basically, they're going through trying to eliminate some options.
Hey, let us not forget. Sorry. The guy from Get Out's in this movie. He plays Detective Elliot, or Lieutenant Elliot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His name is Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah.
I like him. And there's another guy, there's some other dumb detective in here.
Mm-hmm.
Who I can't find his name.
Yeah. So, you have this whole, like, the first movie, it's, like, going through, and just, like, oh, like, which one of the kids did it? And, like, you can't tell. And then,
Also, the kid from It's In It, sorry.
Oh, yeah, he's the Michael Shannon's son. He's this, like, little Nazi.
Yeah, he's a little conservative bitch boy who's always on his phone. But he doesn't have a lot of lines, so he's really not relevant at all.
No.
But he's in it. He's there.
So, basically, like, the like news gets out about this whole murder. Everyone's like, what happened? And then the detective's trying to figure it out. And then you find out that the detective doesn't even know who hired him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm trying to figure out, like, the most organized way to explain what happened. Because it goes, like, there's a lot of flashbacks and stuff.
So each person is interviewed, and so we find out a different key component about each person before he interviews Marta, because he interviews her last.
Yeah.
So we find out. So that we all get their point of view. So this is before we find, like, the absolute details. So this is before we find out that Toni Collette was stealing money, because we find that out later. And this is before we find out that I think Walt was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. They're all like, the kids I love my dad.
Yeah, the kids all tell it from, like, a kind of, like, liar's perspective. But then, the big twist that happens is they read the will of the father, and he leaves all of his, like...
We find out how he dies, though, before that.
Yeah.
Do you want
to... I'll get to that after. Okay, I don't think the order matters. So...
Keeping our viewers in the
so
dark.
So Marta gets all of his inheritance. Like, all the kids' money
the
goes
house,
to...
The house, the public
like, everything.
Company.
But what happened was, Marta was the one who, like, killed him, in air quotes.
Yeah.
So I'll just give, like, tell you the whole spoiler thing right now. Marta, like, was giving him his medication. It's, like, injection. And she gave him, she was giving him morphine and then, like, his actual, like, medication. And she thought that she gave him, an overdose of morphine. And she was like, oh, you're gonna die in, like, 10 minutes unless we, like, call an ambulance right now. And he was like, nah, bro, I'm good. Don't call anyone.
Yeah.
And so she was freaking out. And then, she was like, oh, you should be having, like, all these symptoms or whatever. And then she, like, runs to go get something, comes back, and he, like... Or no, no. He gave her this, like, whole extensive list of things to do of how she won't get caught.
Oh.
Because he's like, oh, like, you can't get caught.
He accepted his fate real quickly.
Yeah.
And he was like, you need to do this, this, and this so that you don't go down for this murder. I'm gonna...
Yeah, because then the police investigating her would uncover that her mother's undocumented.
Yes.
So he's trying to protect Marta. And so she, like, she comes back up. He kills himself by, like, slitting his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to, like, do all of this stuff. So, because there's scenes, like, when the kids are telling stuff to the police. Like, when they're like, oh, and then, like, Marta left at, like, this time. And he's like, leave at this time, like, make it very clear that...
Say, like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So. And Walt was like, my dad came down the stairs at this time while I was having a smoke outside. And Toni Collette was like, I heard a thump. Yeah. I went upstairs. It was, they dropped the board game. But, like, we find out later that it wasn't the board... Like, they did throw the board game on the ground.
But that didn't make the sound. Like, it was, like, it was him falling or whatever.
I think it was her... knocking over her back. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was her falling. He pushed her.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah.
Important.
So, basically, like, there's all these intricate things that happen that I'm not going to explain because it would just take too much time.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, so she's, like, gets so close to coming this murder. And then, The other, like, second big reveal So the son...
Wait a second.
What?
After the will reading, everyone in the family's really angry at her, except for Ransom, because Chris Evans' amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, so Ransom's, like, being all, like, trying to help Martin. Is like,
and Martin
comes
clean about everything to him.
To him. And so he knows all of this. And then he's like, oh, like, if you give me some of this money, then, like, I'll, like, help you and, like, you can have the rest.
Because we find out that Ransom's being cut off, was going to be cut off by his grandpa.
Yeah. So he was being cut off, and that's what that fight was about. And he knew that everything in the will was going to her.
Yes. Because there would be no other reason. Because what had happened was the grandpa said that she beat him at that game.
Mm-hmm.
And... who was it? Only Ransom was able to beat him at that game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, there's no other reason for Marta to come up, Marta to come up, unless the grandpa had said that she was getting everything instead of anyone in the family. Mm-hmm. And that's how we knew about it.
Yeah.
It's very intricate.
It's so intricate, but it's so good. It's so well done. But basically, so like, Ransom's trying to help her and all this stuff, and he's like, driving around with her. And then, they get like a note about the, like, info from the toxicology report, which would show that he, like, overdosed on morphine, put her for malpractice.
Yeah, it was like a... I'm so sorry. It was like one of those I know what you did last summer type notes, and she's like, oh no, someone's gonna frame me.
Yeah. So then, the bigger twist of it all is that Ransom was the one who did it. Ransom went in to her, like, nurse doctor bag and switch the labels on the medication.
But didn't he suck out everything in
it?
Oh,
yeah.
Push
him
into the...
Yeah, he did.
But
the
bottles were switched.
And so he switched the bottles. And then... So in that case, it would be, like, frame her. Because then if she was the one who killed him, she, like,
gave the guy his medicine correctly, then she would have killed him with morphine.
Well, let me explain that. That's a different thing.
Oh, my God.
So, basically, like, Ransom had this whole plan to set up Marta so that she would not get all the inheritance. But the other twist of the movie was Marta gave him the right medicine because she's such a good nurse.
She just felt the liquid in the bottle.
Yeah, because, like, they weigh different things. So she grabbed it without looking, like, felt that it was the right one.
Yeah.
And then he still killed himself.
Therefore, he did kill himself.
So, yeah, he did kill himself. Like, the tox report would have been clean.
Yeah.
And then they had a backup tox report from the housekeeper.
Yes.
So, in the end, Marta wins. The family gets kicked out. And
Ransom goes to jail.
Ransom goes to jail.
He comes at her with a knife, though.
And it's a fake knife.
Because there's a scene in it when her and the grandpa are playing the game, and he's talking about Ransom. And he says that Ransom wouldn't know a real knife from a fake knife, and he, like, stabs a knife into a pillow.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he, like, attacks her with the knife, and it's fake.
Yep.
Because he's a dumbass. But boy, do he look good in that cable knit sweater. Oh, and then Marta, like, throws up on him.
Yeah.
Because she lies.
Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is just this whole intricate, like, murder mystery that no one knows what's happening, and then in the end you all know. Yeah. So what does this have to do with the German farm?
Very little.
Very little. But did I want
to... But there's a mate.
Like, I just thought, like, the family... I was like, it's a weird family. I'm like, that's good enough. You know?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, no, it's a great movie, and it is a murder mystery, and this feels like the most murder mystery type of, like, case we've done in a while, so that's fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, unrelated, but I'm going on a tangent now, just because you were talking about your movies from earlier of a break,
mm-hmm.
I saw the latest Star Wars movie, and...
Feel free to spoil that. No one gives a shit.
Okay, well, I'll tell you a few things about it. The prequels can breathe because they are no longer the worst trilogy.
Yeah.
The new ones are. And it's unfortunate because the first one had so much potential and, like, so much many good... Like, Poe and Finn are great characters.
Oscar Isaac.
And they got fucking shafted by the plot. One, because...
They should have been gay.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that just because, like...
I think Oscar Isaac has said that he wishes Poe and Finn
because were gay. And also it makes sense for their characters too. Like if they had let that relationship, like, you know, and like how like Oscar Isaac, they both like play it, like they both play it so like romantically. And like if you watch them in that first movie, you're just like, oh my god, this is so gay.
Yeah.
Rey also got fucking shafted by that series because she was, I thought, was like kind of interesting, like not as like energetic and out there as like Poe and Finn were, but like she was a cool like character. And just fucking Kylo Ren had to come on here and they had to have their weird little like mind connection. But I'm gonna spoil the new Star Wars for you. Rey turns out to be Palpatine's like granddaughter. So she
is that Natalie Portman?
No, that's the Emperor from, like, the original trilogy, the evil, evil one. And the...
Oh, the guy?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm not a Star Wars fan. Palpatine is
the
one
who
Star
turns
Wars.
Anakin to the dark side.
I understand. He's, yeah. The guy with the, he's with the hood of the... Yeah. I got it.
So she's, like, his granddaughter, which makes no fucking sense.
So that's why
she's all, like, was kind of, like, this weird verge between, like, dark and light. But she's like, oh, I want to, like, go, like, be on the light side. And then Kylo has this, like, kind of, in the end, becomes good and, like, saves her. But then Kylo Ren dies. But then... And this
oh,
is,
hell yeah.
Kylo
yeah.
Ren dies, but this is what pisses me off. The last thing that, like, they happens before he dies is him and Rey kiss.
Yeah, I knew that.
And I'm like, are you fucking... When that happened, half of the theater I was in audibly was just like, ugh. Because it made no sense. He was so abusive to her.
No, I agree. He's a little bitch, baby.
Terrible. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, the whole series, no. The last movie, terrible. I'm not, like, a complete hater to the new Star Wars trilogy because there were, like, some scenes. The first one I enjoyed, The Force Awakens, but that's because it was just, like...
That's the only one I've seen.
And that was also just, like, if you are a fan of Star Wars, you're going to like it because it was all, like, about callbacks and stuff.
Yeah, they had the Han Solo.
And it was really fun. And I think that one was best before they ruined everyone. The middle one, The Last Jedi, had really great cinematography. The scene at the end when, like, Kylo and Rey are fighting together against the Emperor guy is so sick. And I love it. It's really good. I'll have to show it to you. The last one, though, no. Not good. But The Mandalorian on Disney Plus is very good. It has Baby Yoda.
There's one thing to say about Disney Plus is it's got some good originals.
Yeah, that's
all
true.
All two of them.
Yeah.
They're actually, speaking of Disney Plus originals, and I know everyone hates Disney, and I agree. They kind of suck as a corporation, but, like, whatever. And they have a new Percy Jackson series that's going to come out on Disney Plus. And I am so excited because, I don't know, they cast, like, actual kids for the High School Musical thing, so I feel like maybe they'll cast some actual kids for Percy Jackson. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong. It might bomb like the movies did, but maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, but that's the end of my rant, so that's all I have to say.
Do you want to talk about classes? Have you had classes yet?
Oh, yeah, I've had one.
Because we've had classes. I've had classes.
No, yeah, I had a class today, but it was very boring, and I couldn't hear the teacher the whole time.
What class was it?
It was just a computer art, like, digital medical illustration class.
So, that's fun.
Yeah, but I am taking a prosthetics class this semester, so I'll make fake ears and noses and eyes. So if you want one.
Like, prosthetics as in, like...
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Movie prosthetics or, like, real world, like, human... Like,
real world, they're real world cosmetic prosthetics. So,
like, a fake eye for someone who's missing an eye.
Yeah, or, like, a nose, like, if you have, like, an accident where, like, you lose, like, a nose or an ear.
Imagine then, just losing a nose, you know? Just imagine it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Gone. But I was looking at, like, my department head was showing me some of, like, the molds from it. And mm-hmm. It's, like, a mold of, like, how to fit it on. But it's just, like, crazy. But,
is
yeah.
it different for than, like, a rhinoplasty? A nose job.
What do you mean?
Like, it's just a full fake nose that just bops on your face.
Yeah. It's, like, for someone who, like, does not have a nose.
Is that, like, a... So, I'm not going to keep asking about this nose.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I don't know exactly, like, what materials it would be, but I think it's, like, mostly, like, silicone-based stuff that you, like, make a mold for, and then...
I'm just confused how you lose a nose.
Oh. It could get shot off.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like the only way to lose, like, a nose or an ear is, like, a kind of, you know, blunt force.
Yeah, I guess. Then you lose, like, a whole section of your face.
Like, because I was looking at the mold that it had of, like, the imprint from the person that did it, and it was, like, probably, like, up to right below, like, where you have
the... So is the bone still there?
I think part of the bone was still there.
You haven't even taken this class, I don't know.
No, I'm talking about the mold, yeah.
Okay.
No, I can answer questions about it. It was, like, some of the bone was still there, but the skin was gone, and it was just, like, kind of, like, keratinized, like, muscle.
That's so, like, it couldn't, like. You couldn't do the same procedure you do with the nose job because the skin's not there?
Yeah.
Okay. I downloaded TikTok over the break. There's so many nose job TikToks.
I've seen that, too. I'm like, are you marketing this
good,
to me?
Because but, like, also.
Would, yeah.
I mean, I'd go for it, but.
Yeah.
I've had classes, too.
Uh-huh.
I had a class today. It's my capstone. I don't know if other people call it capstone in other colleges, but it's, like, my final for my major that I didn't realize that was the class I signed up for. But it's fine. He seems nice. It's called Search Engine Marketing. His name's Raj. I think it looks like it's gonna eat my ass, you know, it's gonna be hard.
Yeah.
But then I have three other classes. And two are advertising classes. One's like a history of, like, stuff. It's called Mass Communications. He seems really cool. He doesn't believe in memorization, and he told us we don't really need to buy the textbook.
Oh, that's hot.
And he said that all the tests and quizzes are online and that we can look at the notes that he uploads for us. He's like, you don't need to take notes in this class. I'm like, dude, you're working your way to my heart. And he wore, like, a brown suit, and he's, like, an old guy, but, like, I was, like, there for it. The other's digital design and communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I have to take portraits. I have to take other portraits. I have to, because we're, like, learning to edit them in Photoshop, and I get it. I need my own photos. But, like, looks like someone gets to be my model. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I gotta take pictures. Actually, do Friday. I have to show her the photography I currently do, which I don't do.
Show her your coffee
blog. That's what I was gonna do. It has to be. I don't know. Like, she's like, this is a class for people who've never had any design experience ever, and I'm like, cool. And she's like, but submit 5 photos of what your current photography is, and I'm like,
weird.
Like, do you mean like the photo I took of the clouds outside the plane window to put on my Instagram? Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
And then the other class is I always forget the name of it. I don't know. It's a marketing class, but it looks like we have to make it. Our materials are a sketchbook and stuff, which I was like, what the fuck did I just join? An art class, you know? She seems really great. She has a lot of ad experience. She worked for Nike.
That's cool.
But it's a marketing class, and the final, she was like, 20 to 35 slides, and I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna do a big presentation. But then she showed us examples, and you make, like, one fucking ad, and then you just put it places. So it actually seems like it might be fine. It feels like I'm taking a lot of advertising classes. Uh-huh. Which, I mean, I am an ad minor.
Yeah. I sent an email, because I had emailed a professor because I had missed the first class, because I wasn't, like, enrolled in it yet. And it's zoological and botanical illustration, which I've been wanting to take ever since I found out that this was a class. Because you just draw animals and plants.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, what do I need for class tomorrow? And he's like, bring a small cactus. And I'm like...
That's cute.
I'm like, I don't know. Or small cactus or flower. So, I need to get my hands on a cactus or flower.
Does a succulent count?
Probably.
Do you want to borrow one?
I have some at home, too.
Then you're fine.
We'll be good.
Great.
Maybe I'll go to Lowe's in the morning and get, because mine all died over break.
Been there.
So.
I have a money tree in my apartment.
How'd that do?
I stuck her in a pot of water. She does look dead. I know. I'm looking at her. Like, there are brown leaves there, but there's green leaves there. She's not doing well.
Yeah.
If anyone has any plant tips.
I think, I have a theory that Rochester just is not the place that have plants. Not because of, like, the cold, but because of the lack of sun.
I agree. She's, like, being sad.
Yeah.
But my, what is that tree?
Dear God. Not bamboo.
It's a, the one you cut. What the fuck is this tree called?
It's like an elephant something succulent.
That's not what it is. It's a bonsai.
Oh.
My bonsai tree's doing fucking great, so.
There you go. Awesome.
And I bought, this is like one of those never have to forget to water things.
Yeah.
You fill it. And the lady at the store who started talking to me was like, ha, like that works. And you know what? It does.
Yeah.
It really does. Highly recommend. Pay that extra money.
Cool.
I think we're good. So, happy spring semester, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we missed last week. We were on vacay.
Yeah. We were in completely different states.
Yes.
So, unless you wanted the worst audio quality of your life.
So.
I think you'll live.
Thank you for listening. Have a nice week, and don't kill anyone.
Yeah.
Bye.